Well, a desire and interest in your prayers and in your attention this morning. I'd like to write us a question up here. What is your calling? I'd like for us to consider that today with the help of the Lord. We've already heard this verse, but I'd like to begin over here in Romans 8 and 28. It said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things work together for good to him that love, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So he's addressing his comments, his thoughts to them who are the called. Who is the called? Let's read the next two verses. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." What's the gospel message? It could be summarized in John 3:16. You remember what it says? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, all of mankind, all of mankind, don't forget that, is called, has a calling. They're all called to be a child of God. He says here, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." His purpose, His intent from the very beginning was that mankind would live in fellowship with Himself. From the very beginning of creation until now, His intent is that mankind would have a level of fellowship that was comfortable, that was rewarding, that was beneficial with the God of creation. All of us here today has an opportunity. If we love God, if we want to have a relationship, and we feel Him dealing with our hearts, we are part of the call. We are part of the call. I believe, this is a bold statement in our world today, but I believe that the doctrine of predestination that says only certain people are of the elect is false doctrine. Okay, I don't believe that the Scripture supports that there are some people that are predestined to not go to have a relationship with God. That's not scriptural. It is scriptural for all of us to feel and to hear God's call on us and for us to respond, whosoever will. That's what Jesus said in John 3:16, whosoever will. All right? So, y'all know the name Apostle Paul, I presume. He said in two places, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, or verse 2, he said something very similar in both places. He said this, In Romans 1 and 7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to be saints, and that in itself is maybe another message, but we have a calling from God to every one of His creation, all of humanity. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what our ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what our background is as far as church and our non-church or all of that. There's a calling on us to be righteous, to be saved, to have a relationship with Him. Every man that's born into this world, there's an invitation at some point that he has to reckon with, that God is calling for you to come and have a relationship with Him. So we have this universal calling. I wrote the question on the board, what is your calling? I want to tell you that I can answer that partially for you today. You have a calling on your life and on your soul to have a relationship with God. He wants you to be in fellowship with Him as bad as anything else. He wants you to be able to look Him in the eye with confidence, with courage. He wants you to call out to Him and call Him Abba Father. That's another verse here in Romans 8. He said, in verse 15, he says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The word Abba is like saying daddy. It's real personal. It's a passionate thing. He wants us to look at Him as a father. And I am sorry that our world today has caused us to have maybe some distorted views of what a father is. But a father is someone that has the best interest for his children, for his family. He's one that protects. He's one that shelters, one that provides and makes sure that there's food and shelter and clothing and opportunity for his children, for his spouse. And that is the image that I want us to remember that God has. And we're called, all of us are called, to have a relationship with God of that nature. I'd like to turn now, because obviously if I'm asking you a question, I want you to have an answer. And if you don't have an answer today, that's okay. It's a question I'd like for you to take with you and be searching for an answer. All right? Be searching for the answer for you, for personally, your personal question. I've had occasion to have conversation with individuals in the past that as soon as they responded to the call to have a relationship with God, and we might use the term got saved, they confessed and repented, and immediately, I'm talking about within 24 hours sometimes, they feel that they have a calling to go and preach the gospel, to be a missionary, to turn the world upside down. Well, I want us to take this question a little bit more serious than that, because I feel like a calling is something that doesn't dissipate. It's something that I have to deal with and I have to reckon with. It's something that holds me responsible. Okay? So another thing I had someone say to me one time is that they were called. They felt like God had called them to be married, to have a spouse. This is a man that told me this, and to have children. And we were in a anyway, we were in a discussion that would take a long time to explain what was going on, but he told me that his calling was to have a family. And, I'm not here to tell you what your calling is, but I know what happened. This fella either forgot his calling or he wasn't called, because he's left his family. And he's left his family for something that seems ridiculous to me. He got involved in playing a game. It'd be like me saying somebody got so wrapped up in Pac-Man, some of y'all might know what that is, that you left your house and left your family. It was just about that trivial. He's not married anymore. He's abandoned his children, 3 children. He's abandoned them. I don't think he was called. I don't know. A calling. Something deeper than that. It's something deeper than a bright idea. It's something deeper than just an emotion. A calling is something that you know I'm responsible for. You got anything today that you're responsible for? I hope you feel that way. You got children, you're responsible. I might look on with compassion and say, you need some help. I might say, bless your heart. I'm going to tell you, you're the one that's responsible. I've been there. I raised 4 of them. I was responsible. There was times I felt like my back was against the wall, but I was responsible. A calling is a responsibility. What's your calling? Let's turn to 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. It says, Paul, that's the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Bear with us, because we're going to read down several verses to the thought. To Timothy, that's who he's writing to, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy brother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made perfect by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So in verse 9 he said, referring to God and the power of God and the gospel message, he says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I believe that Christ was there with God when he made man, because it says, let us make man in our image. I believe today that this holy calling that Paul had received is something more than just the call of being saved and delivered from the power of sin. He said this calling was not according to our works, not according to his works. You remember what the Apostle Paul was? He was antagonistic and very oppressive to the Christians. He was raised a Pharisee, and he went about persecuting the ones that had accepted Christ as the Messiah, and he was intent on going to Damascus and destroying the Christians that were there. And on the way, he was smote with a light from heaven, enough that it caused him to be blind, and he heard a voice speaking to him and said, "Why are you going? Why are you doing this?" This is my words. "Paul, you're going the wrong way." And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And from that point on, Paul became a changed man. And he became a supporter instead of a suppressor of Christianity. And that's why Paul says here, it's not of his own works. It's not because he had it figured out. It's not because I'm talented. It's not because I have the capabilities. It's not because you individually might have the capabilities, but it's because we're responding to a call that God can have. If he has a call on you, it's going to be something that he's going to put his blessings on. It's going to be something that'll be a blessing to other people, and it's something that's going to be a responsibility for us to have. And he said here that he says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior." This calling began to be manifest right away. And he told us that he was appointed to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. We could go through the different things that potentially could be a calling, but I'm going to tell you, we can be called in life to be of service to the Lord in many, many aspects. I remember the first time that I met Brother Philip Gillenbeck. I had come to Guthrie, Oklahoma for a meeting there as a young man. I was a teenager, and I'd got my sleeping bag and my clothes unloaded in the boys' dorm, and I come around the corner of the building and I met Brother Philip for the first time, and he was a young man as well. And we introduced ourselves, and the first thing he asked me was, "You want to work for the Lord?" I had no idea what he had in mind. And what he had in mind was, it was moving tables or carrying in produce from the vehicle into the kitchen or something. But it had nothing to do with knocking on doors and inviting people to church or anything like that. It was doing something that helped the cause, okay? And so there are callings that helps the cause from the ground up, literally. And I want us to recognize that God may be wanting to put a calling or give you a calling. And the question today that I put on the board is, what is your calling? What is the thing that the Lord is speaking to you? And you know, I will tell you from personal experience, the calling does not always stay the same. If we're faithful in little, He'll make us faithful in much. You remember the story of the talents and where the man was given a few talents, and when he come back and he had been responsible, his overseer and master has said, "You've been responsible in little, I'll make you ruler over some cities." You remember that story? "I'll put you in a bigger responsibility." You be faithful to the calling the Lord puts on you today, and you're liable to get another one a little later on as time goes on. I found that true in my life. I'd like to look. I said something earlier about people thinking they had a calling, and it was really, if you'll let me say it like this, it was a harebrained idea. You know what that means? Ha! It just popped in your head. A calling is more than that. All right? A calling is something you'll be accountable for. I've said that several times, and I want you to remember it. I'd like to turn to Acts, the 9th chapter, and I want to notice what is said about the Apostle Paul. The account here is where Paul had been smote down on his way to Damascus, And he had been struck blind by that light. And Ananias had been spoken to and told that he was going to go pray for him. But let's pick up the story here in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "But the Lord said unto him," this is the Lord speaking to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So Ananias was faithful to his calling. And the Lord had not only, I believe this was a first time that the Lord had spoke to Ananias or commissioned him to follow through with something. I believe this was something that Ananias had been responding to a calling, and the Lord was being able to use him. So I would like to skip down to verse 19. It says, "When he had received meat," this is talking about what we know as Paul, but his name was Saul at that time, "he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days," this is the same man that we call Paul, "then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Now what did he come to Damascus for? To arrest the Christians. He'd had a change of heart, had he not? "But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name, this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" We know that the reason he set out to come to Damascus was to do us harm. And here this man has changed. Paul had a about face, and I think it was under a initial inspiration and maybe a little bit of a harebrained idea. It was effective to a great extent because it says he preached Christ in the synagogue. And the people were amazed. You know, can you imagine someone coming in here or us meeting someone that had upheld an agenda that we felt was contrary to the Word of God, and to hear maybe a politician today, I don't know, and to hear them change around and be supporting godly virtues, don't you think we'd all be amazed? It was, these people were shocked that this man that had been known as Saul was now supporting the things that he had been opposing. And if we just skip down and begin to read on, we find that verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." You know how he was a convincing man, wasn't he? Because he took a bunch of people prisoner. He was educated for his day. He had a lot of ability. But now he's using that for a different cause. And I think it was on a momentary inspiration initially. But there's a lot in verse 22. Because I want to read some more details. Let's go to Galatians, the first chapter. And I want to read you the details that happened in verse 22 of chapter 9 of Acts. Let's go to Galatians, the first chapter, and begin reading in verse 13. And he's talking to a different group of people here. He's not talking to those at Damascus, but this is later on in his life, later on in his ministry. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." In other words, he's saying, I was very instrumental in supporting the old law system and persecuting the Christians. But in verse 15, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." Do you remember what I said earlier? We're all called to be a Christian. We're all called to forsake the life of sin. "He said, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Damascus was where he had went and met Ananias, remember that? Right after his conversion. "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. That's what happened in verse 22 in the ninth chapter of Acts. Now I'd like to go back to Acts, the ninth chapter. I read that over in Galatians because I want us to get a concept that from the time that we start realizing God is putting a calling on us until we're able to fully exercise in that calling, there's some time that elapsed. Will it be 3 years? I'm not going to stand here and say that. It might be much less than that, and it might be more than that. But the question today is, what is your calling? And we could ask some more questions. What are you doing about it? Are you preparing? He went to Arabia. He got alone. You know what's in Arabia, what he was referring to? It was referring to the desert. How many people live in the desert? Not many. You know what that means? You can be by yourself. You know what that means? You can still talk to God. You know what it means for us? It means that we need to get alone with the Lord. Lord, what is it you want out of me? What is my calling? What should I really be applying myself for today? How should I be equipping myself so when the time comes, I can be like Ananias and you can speak to me and I can go and pray. I can go and do the thing that you want me to do. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Bear with us just a little bit longer here and we'll be finished. He says... This is talking about what happened in Damascus. He said, verse 23, "And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Even after 3 years of proving himself in Damascus, they were still afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Because remember the last time when he left Jerusalem, he had been opposed to the disciples. But it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly to Damascus, at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem." What does that mean? Paul proved himself to the folks at Jerusalem. He said he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. You want to be effective in the calling that God has for you? It might be teaching. It might be preaching. It might be something else, like Brother Philip talked to me about. It might be a gift of helps. What's your calling? But he proved himself to the disciples there. He didn't just come in and say, you got to listen to me now. That's not the way he done it. He says he came in and gone out with them at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brother knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galatia, Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Why? Because men were faithful to their calling. Are we going to be faithful to our calling? The calling of Paul took time to develop. A calling is more than a hunch. It's more than an inspiration for the moment. A calling is something that we can't avoid without feeling some level of condemnation. You avoid your calling, you're going to face it again and again and again. I remember another conversation I had with a man that was down near the end of his life. And I'm grateful for the Lord's mercy because he had had an experience that was up and down. And what I mean by that is he would live saved and then he would backslide and then he would repent and then he would backslide. And he lived that way through the majority of his adult life. And at some point in there, the Lord had given him a call and he hadn't responded. And down towards the end of his life, he looked at me and some of the other young men that were there. And his challenge was, be faithful to the calling. Don't back up. He said, I wished I would have followed through. I wished I would have applied myself and been faithful in my own personal life. Maybe I could have been more effective in his kingdom. I'm thankful for everyone that responds to the call that God gives to every one of us. Called to be saints. Called to be a Christian. Called to be saved and be different from the sinful world around us. But I'm also thankful for those that's willing to spend the time in the desert. Lord, what do you want out of me? Am I responding to the call that you have for me? This man told us, I feel like the Lord put a calling on me, and I didn't step up to the plate. And because I didn't step up to the plate, I've struggled with that through my life. And he said, it's something I've had to repent of, that I didn't respond. The Lord was not able to use him like maybe he could have, but I believe he left this world in victory. You'd know him if I told you his name, but I'm not going to tell you that right now. What's your calling? Are you called to be a Christian? I'm going to tell you are. I got the answer to that one. What's your other calling? I don't know. I know what Ecclesiastes says. 9 and 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. The Lord give you a job. You see a job that needs to be done, it's probably the Lord telling you. It's pretty easy. If when you see something that needs to be done, that probably means the Lord is helping you see that. I don't want to give you all the answers, but I want you to know that we have a calling. You've been endeavoring to live for the Lord. The Lord's got something more for you. Be faithful to it, and the Lord will bless you for it. You pray for me.